And this is the beginning of 1 Corinthians 13:13. It says, "And now abide faith, hope, these three." I'm going to stop with a quote there. The rest of it you can, you know, I think you would know quite well. We know that at the first, the disciples of Christ lacked faith. How do we know that? Well, they asked Jesus Christ for more faith. Said, "Increase our faith." And you can find that account in Luke 17. But his response when they asked that was rather interesting. It was that he told them that they needed to do more than that they had been doing. You know, they complained because they weren't able to cast out demons at one time. And he said, you know, that takes a lot of prayer and fasting, evidently more than they were engaged in at that present time. Likewise, Christians are to increase in love. Not only just increasing in faith, and that is something obviously that was a possibility, but Christians are to increase in love. 1 Thessalonians 3, verse 12. I'm going to just pick one of what would be a multitude of scriptures I could turn to that would support and buoy up this concept that, you know, we need more love as we continue in the Christian walk. 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 12, "And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love to one another and to all, just as we do to you." So Paul was actively preaching and promoting the idea that we all, because it comes down to us as well, we should all be increasing in love. So we see then that, just reviewing just a little bit here, that we should increase in faith, we should increase in love. Let me go to another point here. You know, we've all found ourselves in seemingly hopeless situations. And additionally, we've all, I think, experienced moments when we were full of hope. So you have the contrast, hopelessness or hope. Proverbs 13:12 kind of gives us this broad perspective. Proverbs 13 and verse 12, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but when the desire comes, it is a tree of life." Certainly, when the opportunity to, how shall I say this, to have things go your way is a different type of reaction than when it doesn't. Well, how about hope? You know, that was mentioned in 1 Corinthians 13 as one of three. How do we increase our hope? And have you ever thought about increasing hope as something that Christians should be actively engaged in? Well, I'll give you three points that I'd like to kind of enlarge on a little bit, addressing the question that I just asked you on how do we increase hope. It is something that we don't just keep in the background and not pay attention to. It's one of those dynamic parts of our Christian living that we need to really make sure we have actively part of our life. Well, the first point, having more hope means we need to rely on God's Holy Spirit. I'm going to pick a few scriptures to support these, but Romans 5 is where I would like to begin. This particular chapter is a follow-up to Romans 4, in which Paul is teaching about the faith that Abraham had. So Romans 5, and I'd like to go through verses 1 through 5. Romans 5, verse 1, "Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God." Now, he is laying out before his readers, and that would include us, of course, this concept of hope in the glory of God, something future, something promised, an expectation or a desire. And not only that, continuing to read, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character produces something that I'm talking about today, hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which was given to us. The point here in these five verses that I'm reading is that it is through God's Holy Spirit that we can have hope. It's also how we can increase in hope. Romans 15 and verse 13 adds a little bit more to this first point. Romans 15 and verse 13. Now may the God of hope, you know, God goes by many names, and he identifies himself here, the God of hope, the one who really is able to fulfill hope that his creation might have. Now, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. What does abound mean? Brimful and running over, you know, more and more, not less and less, and not something that's atrophying in the back shelf, but rather it's a part of the growth of Christianity is to be abounding in hope. Brings me to the second point I'd like to present today, a way that we can increase our hope. Having more hope means we need to live by the example of Jesus Christ. Let's go to Colossians chapter 1, verses 24 through 29. Colossians 1, verse 24, and I'll read just a little bit of the introduction getting into this. In verse 24, I now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up in my flesh what is lacking in the afflictions of Christ for the sake of his body, which is the church, us, brethren, of which I became a minister according to the stewardship from God, which was given to me for you to fulfill the word of God, the mystery which has been hidden from ages and from generations, but now has been revealed to his saints. To them God will to make known what are the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. We've already talked about the glory of God, and again, when I read this 27th verse, it's talking about something that is future, something that we hope for, not having yet attained. But it is Christ in us that will sustain us and allow us to really come to this promise as in its fulfillment. Him, in verse 28, him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. This was the hope of the ministry, the reason for the ministry, as God established it, with the goal in mind that we could all come to this glory that is being spoken of here. In verse 29, to this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily. The ministry can help build hope. It's a point that Paul, we could take away, maybe not the direct point was making, but I think certainly a point that we take out of this set of scriptures. 1 John 3:3. Normally, in turning to 1 John 3, we don't read the third verse to begin with, because it talks about us becoming like Christ, seeing him as he is, something that we haven't attained at this point, but will, But notice verse 3, and everyone who has this hope, this future hope of glory in him, purifies himself just as he is pure. So my second point again was that we need to live by the example of Jesus Christ, to have him in our lives. A third point is, having more hope means that we must hope for the things God has promised for us. 1 Thessalonians 5 gives us some insight here. I think that is something we can turn to in times of trial, times of trouble, when everything seems lost, things aren't going our way. We can find comfort. In fact, that's even why this set of scriptures has been written. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. It says, let me get to 1 Thessalonians. I'm in 2nd here. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 8. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. Again, something that is future, something that we should be looking forward to. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. We have to have that kind of hope. But I'd like to finish up this third point in Hebrews 6, verses 9 through 20. Several verses to read here, but this is, for me, kind of a capstone example that we can turn to and have something that we can perhaps remember as from the sermonette. Hebrews 6, verse 9. He says, but beloved, we are confident of better things concerning you. And he just pretty much given them some, let's say, encouragement, but really some stern warnings. Yes, things that accompany salvation, though we speak in this manner. For God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, in that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. You've taken your part in the church. You've done what you could when it came your way to do it. God honors those things, and he hasn't forgotten it. And though we sometimes might think we're the worst sinners there ever have been, treat this in balance, like David did when he repented so bitterly of the things he did wrong and was restored by God. But God knows all that we are doing. And we desire that each one of you should show the same diligence to the full assurance of hope until the end. We have to keep hoping for those things that we've identified as goals out in front of us. That you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. And we're going to look at, as we continue now in verse 13, the example of Abraham. In verse 13, for when God made a promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself, saying, surely, blessing I will bless you, and multiplying I will multiply you. And so after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promises. For men indeed swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is for them an end of all dispute. Thus God, determining to show more abundantly to the heirs of promise the immutability of his counsel, confirmed it by an oath. Now, we could read over these words, but all of these promises have to do with what God has in store for us as well. That by two immutable things in which it is impossible for God to lie, we might have strong consolation, who have fled for refuge to lay hold of the hope set before us. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil, where the forerunner has entered for us, even Jesus, having become high priest forever according to the order of Melchizedek. So we see that we have the example. We have the promise out in front of us. Brethren, our hope is sure. It's as sure as it was for Jesus Christ if we endure, if we continue in the hope that we have been given. I like how David so often writes about the promises of God in the future that he knew was ahead of him. I want to end with Psalm 71, verse 14. Psalm 71 and verse 14. He says, "But I will hope continually and will praise you yet more and more." He was going to grow in hope, brethren. He was going to continue as long as he drew breath. And I would even say that he will continue in the future as a spirit being in the family of God. So have hope. Don't you dare give up on the promises of God.